Yes, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side.
We're late.
We're early, actually, because it's 7:15. We're usually on at 8. We were supposed to be on at 7 today. I want to thank Johnny, who does Neighborhood Love Radio. He switched time slots with me so I could accommodate these two gentlemen, and we're still late. So I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and of course, you know who's talking there. That's
Dark Mark.
My beautiful co-host, Nicole Six.
Sorry.
That was not my beautiful co-host, Nicole Six. That was the beautiful Michael Lee Gogan. And we also have Carl Crew here.
Hello.
And Nicole, do you want to greet them?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, darling.
Hello. You already said hello, but that is Michael Lee Gogan, who's been, you've seen this face. You've seen him in quite a few movies, TV shows. He's been in everything. This guy is the modern day Forrest Gump, as we found out in the car ride over here. He's been around everybody, everything. He's got a lot of stories, and he's a cool guy. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you're right next to the Barnum of Burbank Boulevard.
He's so cool.
I know he's so cool. The star. You didn't know Carl was a star of Blood Diner after I posted it a million times?
I'm sorry.
You remember the big wrestling scene?
I'm going to cry.
Oh, it's okay. I love Blood Diner.
It's good thing I'm sitting between them.
You remember the big wrestling scene?
Yeah.
That was the guy. He's the brother, the goofy brother that wrestled.
Yeah.
Carl Crew.
Little Jimmy Hitler.
Little Jimmy Hitler.
That we shot that film at the end of the... At the end of the shoot, and it was the very last shoot we did, and I got hurt.
I'm sure.
He threw me, and I was like, man. I went and laid down for like 20 minutes. They're like all freaked out.
You don't fuck around with Little Jimmy Hitler. And we're gonna get to our sponsors later, but we're gonna get a conversation going. Nicole, have you ever been to the California Institute of Abnormal Arts?
I haven't.
You've seen the pictures though.
Yes.
It's a fascinating.
And Carl
place.
And I became Facebook friends about a month ago.
Yay!
Prior to the show, or when you knew
prior
he was coming
to the show,
out?
But I think show. He probably knew he was. I mean, he probably saw me through you.
I did, baby. Amen.
That's destiny through drew
it's
you
all
to Nicole.
Because
he was telling me today, he's like, I know Nicole. We were talking about maybe booking and all this other stuff. But
mm-hmm. They're having California, a relationship now.
Good for them.
Yeah. One of faces and books. It's all very grimoire.
Well, you both. I mean, you both are in the horror industry. In your own ways. You both have a dark, macabre sense of humor, which is perfect for this show.
I like my corn on the macabre.
Who doesn't? California Institute of Abnormal Arts was open, was it 20 years ago, 10 years ago? How many years ago?
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Because I stumbled in about 10 years ago myself. You were having midnight movies, old crappy Ed Wood-style movies.
Yeah, which I love.
I love it too, on a Friday night. And I was like, I got to play at this place. Now, I have to describe this for people I was going to send pictures to Jenny to post, but if you go to what's the website, California Institute of Abnormal Arts?
Oh, well, we're on Facebook right now. We're working on our new website. We're working with a neural surgeon. So I can't even give away the secrets of what we're doing.
A neurosurgeon is working on your website.
Right. We're going to have a way to scan your frequency of your brain, and we can do commercials in your brain without a computer.
Just like Futurama.
Yeah, amen.
I like it.
But it's Facebook, CI Abnormal Arts.
CI Abnormal Arts.
Yeah, that's where we're posting all our shows right now. And there's also a Facebook CI Abnormal Arts flyer album. And that is all the flyers I've designed for like 20 years. And there's also CIA. And that's more historical, this crazy stuff that's happened there. Yeah.
So 20 years ago, what was your original conception of the California Institute?
My conception?
Because it's changed a few times over the years.
I took over the building. I was a mortician for a while years ago, and one of the students in the second student apartment over the mortuary was my business partner now, Bob.
Right.
And that's where I met him. And years later, we ran into each other in Hollywood, and I had just been making films for a few years. And I set up a distribution company to sell my films. And so we took over the CIA Club.
Films such as Gross Out.
Urban Legends, Lunch with Larry.
Nude Bowling.
New Bowling, well, you laughing, huh?
No.
It's real.
Tell her about New Bowling.
New Bowling was a short film, the first film I ever directed.
Okay.
10 minutes long. But we...
Of Nude Bowling.
It was called The Art of Nude Bowling.
Oh, The Art of Nude Bowling, excuse me.
Yes, please. And we used an 1,100-pound naked woman bowling in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She looked like a Sharpay.
Okay.
Yeah, like the Michelin lady, you know.
So how did you know if she got a strike or not?
We never knew anything because she sat in us all and we just all died. No, actually, what we did was we shot it in color, and I had some Playboy models bowling beside her, you know. And
Ron Jeremy.
And Ron Jeremy was in it. And another friend of mine who's a really big producer right now, and I can't say his name, but the really funny thing is that what we did was we shot it in color.
Yeah.
And then we transferred it to black and white, and I took the negative and I scratched it with sandpaper.
Oh.
And then I took a little scratchy tool and scratched out the genitals of the two guys, which is a lot of work with Ron Jeremy. And what we did was we put a crawl in the beginning of the film. This film was found in the underground Hollywood film banks, and it is traced back to the very first work of art by Alfred Hitchcock. And we just...
Did people buy that it was Alfred Hitchcock?
A lot of people did, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. But it's just a 10-minute thing, and it's just, it's maximalism, and that's what we're all about at the CIA.
Oh, definitely. It's a sensory overload. It's hard to describe. I describe it as like a circus sideshow, but you're changing that. It's kind of a circus sideshow meets Chinatown now.
Well, yeah, we've gone all ancient Chinese secret. You pay first.
Yes.
I grew up in Chinatown in San Francisco. Which is vast and dark.
And you know what?
So cool.
It sounds like you're not the only one because you grew up in San Francisco.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. No ticket, no laundry.
No.
You have ticket, you get laundry. Okay.
You pay first.
You pay first.
Can you blame me?
We just lost our big Chinese and Korean following, but that's okay.
I love them all. I don't care. I would be Chinese.
I think it's just good business.
We definitely pay first.
I'm going to have plastic surgery and change to be Chinese.
No starchy. I understand.
I grew up in San Francisco. You're right.
Amazing.
But not Chinatown.
No, but you know what? Every major corner in San Francisco has an MJ or a K2 market or whatever. And right. It's just a little handy market that's for that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I remember this guy named MJ.
Right.
Oh, my God. He was so cool. And he was so right on with the kids in the neighborhood. And just, you know... I saw him when he had dark hair all the way up until he got gray hair. I mean, it's like, that was a part of the neighborhood.
Right, know? Right.
So I kind of miss that. Don't you kind of miss that once in a while?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I'm in North Hollywood now, okay? San Francisco is a place where you go, you go here to get your cheese. You go here to get your pasta.
That's right.
You go here to get your deals. All these little mom and pop stores are so cool.
Right.
And down here, it's like CVS and Denny's.
Totally. That's just because you're in North Hollywood.
Yeah, tell me about it. I have to run screaming out of there.
North Hollywood is going through a whole renaissance now.
Yeah, the last 20 years. Yeah, the NoHo Arts District. You know, we've always been everything that the NoHo embodies. You know,
right.
Theater, film, art, everything. And we were just on the fringe of the NoHo, which is very apt. But they wouldn't even hang a NoHo banner in front of our place.
I was going to say, does the NoHo Arts District recognize?
Well, they do now, but I mean, they wouldn't hang a banner in front. I mean, they were hanging banners up the street at the laundromat. I'm like, dude, you know, what are you doing? So we did our own banner, the So-So Arts District.
I remember that.
They got really bummed out. Yeah, it was really good.
I remember that. So you walk in, though, let me tell you, Michael, I don't even know where to start with you. You got such a... You've been through so many things.
Don't get started with me now.
Okay. Well, you've been acting for quite some time. You were in the original Lord of the Rings.
I was.
Not the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings.
That's right.
And when I say the original Lord of the Rings, if people don't know, it was about 1980, 81, or 79.
77, 78.
Okay. Ralph Bakshi, who did Fritz the Cat and other animated things, animated movies.
He was quite a character to work
cool
with.
Cool world.
No doubt.
Was he really?
Oh my God. Hollywood, if she could.
And he did a movie adaptation, an animated adaptation of Lord of the Rings, and you were Gollum.
I was Gollum. I was Smeagol,
so
and
cool.
I had a great time. I mean,
do you still do the Gollum voice?
Yes.
Only on special occasions, you know, with the right woman.
I'm telling you, that's sending chills up my spine.
But just for argument's sake, or the truth of the matter is, he had hired all British voices. So we were doing a form of rotoscoping when we filmed that.
Right.
And everything was filmed in black and white. And then artists were working around the clock to make that cartoon look so real as it did.
Right.
So it was awesome.
I've seen The Hobbit. I haven't seen that one. And maybe I think I saw it, but it was a long, long time ago.
Oh, my God. You have to see it at least one time.
Right.
Because you will know that all of it is real. It's real animation.
Right. Well, I've seen his other movies like American Pop and other ones where he rotoscoped and things like that.
Yeah.
And it is... It's a little different. It's a different type of experience.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to move to the vocals and then, of course, become that action that we did. Like, there's one scene where I had to lift this Bilbo or Sam character way over my head. And I'm thinking to myself, that was Billy Barty. And he had just had a quadruple heart
surgery. And you picked him up.
And I said, Billy, are you out of your freaking mind?
Right.
You know, I'm like 20-something. He was 50-something, almost 60-something.
Right.
And he says, go ahead, kid. Kid, I can handle it. I said, but I don't want to hurt you. And he goes, I'm okay. Wow. So I did. And I was really careful about it. And they had these mats on the floor.
What a pro.
He was really a pro. And...
That's some history.
We were strong.
Right. If some of our younger viewers don't know, Billy Barty was,
explain it the way you explained in the car.
Well, when you look at the, what's that movie, Willow, he was the wizard.
He was the wizard Willow. I'm sorry.
Oh, the bird.
He was the wizard
Forget
Willow.
The bird.
Yeah. And he was the most marketable little person actor for years and years and years.
Yes, absolutely.
He's got so much personality.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially in Willow.
But he also had a show for children on the morning time, the clown thing that he did.
That's
so
cool.
I don't remember that.
Every day.
I remember Billy Barty, like towards the end when he was doing, you know, he did the movie with Chevy Chase. I think you were in that one.
Yes, you're talking about Foul Play, and then you're also talking about Under the Rainbow. Now, here's a story. This is the truth. I turned down...
He's got so many stories.
I turned down Foul Play. I did not like the storyline. I didn't like the idea I was going to be tossed out of a window, ending up in a trash can rolling down the hill of San Francisco.
That sounds like up Billy's alley.
3 years later, I ended up guest starring in another movie with Chevy Chase in it, and it worked out just great.
Oh, okay.
And I was Under the Rainbow, so... Right. I introduce all the characters at the train station, so it was awesome.
Because you got one of those faces, people are like, I've seen you in something.
They do it all the time.
I just don't know what. And, speaking of Lord of the Rings, you got to tell the Peter Jackson story, because Peter Jackson, now this is the Lord of the Rings that everybody knows that was a big hit, the live action. He brought you in to audition.
Not one time, not two times. How about three or four times?
And they film these auditions.
They film all the auditions. And what makes people from the short stature community upset is that what he was doing was characterizing us, you know, for his project by our movement. So he would take our movements, slice off somebody's at the neck and put their body and head together with some other actor. That were doing all the movement in the film. And we as short-statured actors, we feel like we got gypped. We got, you know,
So your body might have been in The Lord of the Rings.
My body might have been in The Lord of the Rings.
Well, when you look at a movie as fantastic as Willow, and I think we can all agree that would have been a much better movie.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no substitute for live action or puppetry.
No. Nope.
And I really wish directors would start learning that. CGI is just CGI. Man.
That's right.
Well, actually it's gotten a lot better. It used to be really bad.
Although
Del Toro, some directors genuinely get it. Yeah, they understand how important it is to have a skeleton, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a big supporter of that. I think it's a lot easier to work with too. But eventually, it's going to come to the point where CGI takes over everything.
It's almost there.
Yeah, it's almost there right now. I mean,
it needs to be a lot better first.
You're right.
Stop being outsourced.
But really, I mean, The Lord of the Rings, as sad as that situation is, it broke new grounds with CGI. I mean, now you can literally do anything in a film.
Totally.
Anything.
Right. I mean, just the opposite. Just the opposite can happen for me.
Right.
To play an action hero.
Absolutely.
So, right. I mean,
put you on Vin Diesel's body. I can see that.
I would love to do that.
Right. I think Nicole's picturing that right now.
Oh, I was thinking it kind of in my head looks like 300.
Yeah.
Little Xerxes action.
There you go. But anyway, so I've got to take you to the CIA one of these days, Nicole, because you walk in, there's this yellow gate that opens up. You walk in. Carl's there, and Carl's quite a character. It's going to take you a while to talk to him before you get in. He's going to make sure you had a tetanus shot, the whole thing. Yeah. You walk in, the displays that they have, I mean, it's not just a great performance space. It's an amazing performance space, best, probably the best sound in L.A. And just when you surround the stage, yeah, go ahead, take the compliments. But, I mean, and the stage is just striking. It's just colorful. It's amazing. But on the way to the stage, there is a mummified fairy.
There's the auditorium.
So it's like the Goth Emerald City.
It's kind of the Goth Emerald City in a way.
Kind of like messed up Puffin Stuff.
So I remember when you first showed.
That's why I described the Radioactive Chicken Heads as Puffin Stuff on acid.
Radioactive Chicken Heads, which we have to get on this show.
Oh yeah,
they're a great band. They have their lead singer's Carrot Top, but not that Carrot Top.
Right.
The guy that actually has a carrot foam carrot head.
Yeah. That's much more interesting.
We're gonna have it at our place like 150 times.
Right.
Brilliant.
But how did you acquire the fairy?
Well, I used to be an antique dealer too. Right. And I
a
had
mortician and antique dealer.
Yeah, awesome. Actor and, like, and, right out of a book.
And I grew up in a repertory theater group since I was a kid till I was like 22.
Right,
touring all over. So kind of that. Background.
So you did repertory acting, then you were a mortician.
Yeah.
Then you started acting again.
Well, I've always never stopped acting, but because actually the mortuary is total show business too. You know, like you have your lights, your makeup, your cameras, whole music.
Except the audience doesn't applaud; they're just on slabs.
Yeah.
Or crying.
Yeah. It's really sad. But anyway, you know, and my father's a cardiovascular surgeon, so I grew up seeing heart surgery.
Right.
So, like, to me, it was a great relief that they weren't in pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but at some point, I'm like, yeah, I'm an artist. I'm going to get out of here. So, it was a really good background for me when I did the Jeffrey Dahmer film. But anyway, I think when people come down to the CIA, it's always been about creating a interdimensional place where you can kind of escape the normal, or I hate that word, or just escape regular anything.
It's a surreal place. You walk into this, it is, you're entering the surreal world.
But like I said, I used to be an antique dealer, and I used to deal a lot of neon clocks and jukeboxes and slot machines. I had like some 10-foot tall rubber Coke bottle halves from the 1919 World's Fair.
Wow.
They're huge. And they're so cool. I used to collect all the old Coca-Cola billboards and all that stuff.
Right.
And my whole house was filled with jukeboxes and slot machines and all that stuff. I traded it all in for dead things. Yeah. So I just started finding these other weird things going, and I started collecting those more. And eventually, at the CIA, what happened with the CIA, we were a distribution company. And it just, we were eaten alive by the phone company. Back when Ma Bell just sucked your blood, and also the UPS, and it just ate us alive. And my friend goes, oh, dude, I want to do an Academy Award party here. I said, oh, okay. So we did it, and it was so successful. At the end, it was just like, duh.
I mean, what were you using it before the party?
I was thinking, I don't know what we're going to do.
Is this a performance space? Or are you living
clear.
There?
It was
you...
very clear. It was like, yeah.
You were living there as a performance space? It was, I mean, what was it?
Well, it wasn't anything. It was a distribution company.
Oh, okay. So,
that's the key.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I looked at my partner, Bob, and I was like, and then we looked at my friend.
I never knew Bob used to be a mortician, too.
Yeah, he's the guy that I met at the mortuary.
Which I found on your Wikipedia page, now
we should do a proper hello to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
One of the most brilliant artists I've ever worked with.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Just, I mean, he paints a painting and it sells before I can even hang it on the wall. Like,
right.
Jerk.
So, which... I would say, I don't know, the severed arm of Claude de Lorraine, or the dead clown, or the fairy?
Very first artifact we got was the arm of Claude de Lorraine, and it's still there 20 years later. It's cursed if you photograph it. It's on Ripley's, believe it or not. If you go to our Facebook CI Abnormal Arts page, there is a clip with Dean Cain doing the whole thing on it.
And then they got canceled.
Well, yeah, see, they took a picture of it. See, you can't photograph it. Yeah, that's the deal. I've seen 300 people take pictures in the last 20 years. I've never heard of any problems, but I've never really seen any of them again. And Ripley's is off the air. Oopsie.
Right.
But the cool thing about it is you can leave something on the bars and get a wish in 24 hours. We've been doing it for 20 years.
And you've heard stories about that.
Well, I have a trunk load of stuff of things people have left. And I've never heard of anyone not getting their wish.
Really?
Except for two weeks ago. Woman came and said, I didn't get my damn wish.
I said, child,
what did you do? What did you do? She goes, what do you mean? I said, did you leave something from yourself? No. I said, that is your problem. What did you do?
So what is
I borrowed a penny. Well, Can't do that.
You don't take a penny when you want to wish.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so the two rules are whatever you leave, it has to come from you.
Right.
And also, you can never verbalize what you wish for.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And I have a trunk load of stuff from the last 20 years. When it gets filled, we're going to put it all in a giant frame so you can see 20 years worth
of offering. What's the weirdest thing that somebody's left there?
Oh, child. Some of that. Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff.
You can say anything on this show if you really want.
Well, you know, I mean, there's everything from Hello Kitty keychains to you know, all kinds of weird charms and crazy stuff. And
You're being kind. Come on.
Yeah, I am being kind. Yeah.
Let it out.
I mean, as far as magic goes, it's always about tribute of some form. Some form of sacrifice, some sort of exchange.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's interesting.
We kind of draw the line, you know what I'm saying? Because,
yes.
Yeah, we draw a line. I have studied the occult for many, many years. And there's a certain line I won't cross. And I've met a lot of really, really people deeply involved in it.
Right.
I find these days people come to me because they know I give a tour with some very strange things and know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I get people coming to me all the time going, dude, I'm seeing shadow people. I'll say, well, are you dropping LSD? No, I really say, well, okay, what's your deal? I mean, what do you have any involvement with the occult? I mean, do you do anything like that?
Right.
I mean, you know, tarot cards, whatever. And usually, pretty much most of the time, they do. Or they have someone in their family who has been involved. And sometimes in that world, these familiars are passed down through family generational. Right. It's really weird.
Well, anything that relies that heavily on blood. I mean, whatever I believe, because we know I'm mostly science-based, I understand the laws of how they all work.
Well, you know, the thing about science-based is like I love when people say, well, science has nothing to do with the Bible. And it's like the exact opposite, really. People have spent their entire careers trying to prove that the Bible has no concept of science, and really it's the exact opposite. It's hilarious.
God created science, of course.
Science really was based on biblical principles.
I think the problem is I think some Christians deny that.
Well, there's people that deny everything.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's all about finding out what is real and what isn't.
Well, and as far as that goes, going back to that also, I mean, even according to the laws of Christianity, it's still blood-based and tribute-based. Christianity is heavily based on blood and tribute.
Well, of course.
The ultimate laws of magic.
Well, that's true. That's true. Old Testament, but now it's New Testament. God, amen. All that stuff is gone.
Anyway, speaking of science, I was my research of Michael. I was amazed to find out you're born without hip bones.
I was born without any hip sockets. I lived that way for a long time.
I'm trying to picture it. I can't even picture it.
It's very painful.
I mean, could you walk, or you just were in a wheelchair the whole time?
No, I walked. I mean, but the crevice in my pelvis area was pretty big.
Well, if I had a dime for everyone told me that.
I mean, it's like...
I'm kidding, guys. Yeah.
That's why they call him the Gothic comedian.
Just imagine the femur being like a pointed tip.
Right.
And digging in bone to bone into your pelvis area.
That's amazing. Like, oh, that's got to be painful. And how long did you live like that?
I lived like that all the way up until I was about 19 years old.
Wow.
I was the first American teenager to have total hip replacements.
Wow.
So I still have an original hip, and I'm so thankful because, you know, without those hips, I would not have a good, healthy sex life, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have a good, healthy sex?
I do. I have the best partner.
Well, let me ask you, because, I mean, you...
She totally gets to hear the Gollum voice.
I'm sure she does. No, because you've got three sons.
I have my three sons.
So my three sons. You're very potent.
Let me
ask you something. Now, you were married, and you have a... And we heard about your girlfriend, who apparently is quite a sex expert. And
she is a great sex expert. We both are sex experts together.
Right. Have you learned? Has she taught you anything?
Yeah. There's some things that we trade off on each other all the time.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for that.
But I'm the oral master, and she says so. That's all there is to it.
It's called a sex.
That's an amazing compliment.
A sexpert.
Yeah. An oral sexpert. But what I was going to ask in your younger days, because we had a guy in here, Nick Sin, a little person, and he lives in Portland. He owns a strip club, he owns a pizza parlor, he does a mini Marilyn Manson performance. He's great, and we were talking like, do girls like really seek you out and want to have an experience because you're a little person?
Absolutely.
And that happened to you too?
Absolutely. You know, when I did the mini kiss BS,
I'm just going to bring that up.
Yeah,
mini kiss.
I was sliding into that.
Sing from mini kiss.
We were
brilliant.
We were at the racetrack in, what's that, in South Carolina. What is that place called where they have all the races?
The Daytona 500?
Oh, my God. One of those, not Daytona, but...
Right.
But it was so friggin' awesome because every time I performed, they had to hire security to grab the women off the fence that were climbing over.
Yeah.
And I thought, is this real? This cannot be real.
Right.
You know?
Like the real Paul Stanley couldn't get that reaction, but you
no.
did.
Exactly. And it was fun. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, I saw him at the Palace.
Yeah.
Minikiss, yeah.
Because I asked him, I said, does it bother you that women just want to have an experience with a little person and they're not specifically...
Does it bother Ron Jeremy that women just want to have an experience with him from the waist down?
Are you the same way?
I'm telling you, the show that Carl saw when I was in Hollywood,
right.
There was this couple and they were really cool. He was in the industry, his girlfriend... Not quite. So they snuck into the back, and there was a party. And the guy says to me, listen, you can have my girlfriend.
That's pretty hot, too, I'm sure, right?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Everything was there. It was like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he goes, listen, show me the way. But anyways, she was like lifting her blouse and like, and he says, here, go ahead, touch him. I go, I don't know. And poor Joey from the group was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I said.
He's the guy who started Minikiss.
Yeah. I said. Why not? I'm being invited. Okay. And so I never went that far because that would be kind of rude.
Were you married at the time?
Yes and no. We were separated.
Okay. Oh, good answer. Yeah.
So you could have done it more.
I could have had fun in a different way. Absolutely. It gets kind of strange. Oh, my God. Yeah, I am.
I'm sorry, but it's just my brain immediately went to motorboating because it's just like right there, you know?
Thank you.
You must be an expert motorboater.
It's that passion, you know, that we're getting together. We're so close.
I have a friend who's exactly boob height, and I assure you, he enjoys my
is that an invitation or... Nicole, was that an invitation?
I'm okay.
All right, okay.
But I'd say it's still the picture
of my head. The women love Michael E. Goggin, man.
They do. It's fun.
Did you have to put fake chest hair to play Paul Stanley or?
No, we never went that far with the hair. But what we did do is we wore the tight outfits, the black and
right. And
all the, what do you call it, paraphernalia garb. And
right.
It was cool.
The space boots and the whole thing.
Everything.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I was blown away.
Yeah. And you've had some unusual things at the California Institute of Abnormal Arts. I mean, just the bands, the performers. What I didn't bring up last time you were on the show, which was a couple of years ago, I'm still trying to get that off the site so we can get dialogue because we had a real in-depth interview, but it was just you and me for an hour, and it was something. But Repo with the Genetic Opera.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know where that started?
Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
The California Institute of Abnormal Arts. They worked it out there, right?
Yeah, they did. And they didn't tell us if it had anything to do with Paris Hilton or anybody.
Well, I don't think it didn't have anything to do with, I mean, were they already playing on the movie or it was just a stage play at this time, right?
I'm not sure what they did, but they shot a bunch of stuff there. And it was a type of thing where we're going to come in and do this little tiny thing. And then all of a sudden, like, you know.
Well, I think for that particular role, Paris Hilton was a great cast for what that role was supposed to represent, societally speaking. So I've never had a problem with it, but I know a lot of people have. But yeah. I personally think if you're going to, have you seen it?
Yes, I know, yeah.
And don't you understand what they were trying to do?
Absolutely. No,
I think it's actually delightfully twisted in the same way as that particular German, to convince her to take on such a cannibalistic role of herself.
I thought the cast, the fact that there's a scene where Paul Sorvino, Paris Hilton, Sarah Brightman and Ogre from Skinny Puppy are all singing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. I mean, that's amazing right there.
It is.
But the fact that on the DVD, there's footage from the CIA. Mm-hmm. I assume you haven't been paid for that.
Well, we got a little something. You know,
right.
A little wink.
So you had no idea this is going to be a big thing.
No, I had no idea, of course.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like that. We were a little more.
Well, have you seen Boozman's other stuff? Because I also, on the ride over here, I was thinking about, you know, The Devil's Carnival seems like right up your alley, too.
Well, you know, the... House of a Thousand Corpses, the art director came out and hung out at the CIA for about 3 months before they did that film.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's probably why it's the only one I like that he's done.
I saw a lot of...
There's a lot of the yellow and the stripes.
Stripes and everything, yeah. But we've had a lot of just interesting people just stop by, even like Joe D'Alessandro from the Andy Warhol fame.
Yeah.
And, Just all kinds of people.
Elvira.
I love Elvira.
You're friends with Elvira?
Yeah, she came over and did a show at the club, and she brought her car, and it was really cool. Yeah, she's so sweet.
She's sweet, huh?
Oh, she's just
She's
doll.
Adorable,
she's
huh?
She's a doll.
Oh, yeah. She's beautiful when she's in makeup and when she's not in the makeup.
Yeah, amen.
Amazing.
Right. And she looks like she's like 19.
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, maybe 28, but I mean, she looks phenomenal. Considering she's, what, 60, 61?
Well, damn, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that.
She's eternal.
We don't
very
age.
Sweet. Very
we don't
sweet.
Age.
Speaking of women that age, I wanted to wish our former co-host, Josie Cat, a happy birthday.
Ooh.
Happy birthday,
happy birthday.
She's not quite 61, but I'm sure she'll get there.
You'll be as young and perky
she's
as your
kill
tits.
You.
I know. I don't know if she's going to hear it, but if she does, it'll be hilarious.
Happy birthday.
Yes. But, and also, this is a good spot to say, go to darkmarkshow.com. Go to audible.com. You get a free book and a free 30-day trial. Mm-hmm. And also go to our Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter pages tonight because I will have two codes for you. One for 50% off, adamandeve.com, the number one sex toy company on the internet.
Yeah.
Learn to be an oral sexpert.
Right. You get some dental dams.
Help
get whatever,
me
dental dams, lube, whatever you need. And if you're so inclined, AdamMail.com, the number one gay sex toy company on the internet, also sponsors the show. We're going to have a link for them, too.
Love is love. Discount.
Love is love, whatever. No, we're
and speaking of all this.
Substance without judgment. Do you want to talk about it?
I was just going to say, this is actually a great show to announce the fact that my anthology, Some Fucked Up Shit, is now on NicoleSix.com. And so if you like this show, you clearly like Some Fucked Up Shit.
Yeah.
And hard copies will be available.
Paperback.
Well, I mean, actual
yeah,
copies.
Yeah, physical
you can hold,
copies. You'll have physical copies.
You can hold in your hand.
Ain't no Kindle.
Right.
You can still smack someone with
Michael,
one. You know, it's still
physical
damage.
Copies. Michael is very. I really appreciate that she gave you. You're a singer as well, not just minicus, but for seriously. And this is your CD, Michael. Is it entitled? Oh, is
we're
it
talking about the car.
MG Midget for sale.
There you go. That's right.
And I saw on YouTube you sang a song for Rosie O'Donnell.
I did.
What happened there? What did she do? What she said?
Oh, my God. She was saying some weird things about little people. She wasn't really getting it right. And then she probably went the wrong way on that. She went south on it.
Was this like on The View or was this on some show?
I mean, her own show.
Her own show. Okay. When she had the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Yeah.
I mean, what did she say?
You know, I don't remember exactly what she said.
Right.
So I wouldn't be able to paraphrase it correctly. But it kind of drawed us to a point of, you know what, just leave for a while, then come back so you become a real person.
So it was past the point of just ignorance to just blatant maliciousness.
It was. It was pretty sad.
Because I don't follow Rosie O'Donnell, so I don't know what she said.
Well, I don't follow her at all either.
But you did a terrific song on YouTube.
Thank you.
About you know, everybody accepting everybody, and it's funny because at the time she had her own demons and she was in her own closet.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to point fingers at somebody. I'm just saying, you know, just be thankful for who you are, and try not to be anybody else. That's basically the whole idea of the song.
And let's be honest, if you're going to point a finger at Rosie O'Donnell, you're probably going to hit her.
Yeah,
she's
a big target.
She's
right?
A big target. Yeah. Another thing you were talking about. I've been hitting jokes all day. This is the first time that I got right on the spot.
That's cool. It's all right. It's
no,
okay.
But Rosie, if you'd like to come on the show and rebut, please, we'd love to have you.
I'll sit on your lap.
Bring your butt on the show.
Yes.
Come on,
great. Michael will be on the show. He'll sit on your lap. We'll see what happens. He's the oral meister. Maybe
I was like, my mind immediately went to motorboating.
I was gonna say it's okay if you're gay, Rosie, because I love lesbians too.
I was gonna say motorboating. That's more like a yacht. But you were also talking about.
I am a lesbian. What am I saying? Right. I love women.
Well, okay. Also, and the other thing, I can't see. I told you, it's with myself so fast. I can't leave the show. You were at Easy E's funeral.
Yes.
You knew Easy E and Easy E's mother.
Yes.
Easy's mother babysat your son.
My friend Katie is the mom of Easy E, and she's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't spoken to her in a while, but I'll tell you, she's a great person. And I knew Easy E as just simply Eric.
You might be the only one.
Eric, pick up your clothes. Eric this, Eric that, you know. But he was great. I mean, very creative. And
so you knew him as a kid?
We knew him as a younger person, absolutely.
Wow, and you said the funeral was so weird because there was so many different Bloods and Crips were there.
Bloods and the Crips were there. They were fantastic. They were behaving themselves.
You had the probably East Coast, West Coast rappers were there.
They were there. And
the white, course, white people were there.
They say the police department are called the Black and the Whites.
Right.
And you had the sheriff's department. And they had all kinds of policing outfits there.
Right.
And it was major because we drove from the A&E church downtown all the way to Rose Hills. Wow. That's a long distance to bring all those people to a funeral.
And have them behave. Although one of them got out of line, you know, you were there, so you could have kept the peace.
Yeah, right. I could have tipped the scale, too.
You were Gollum, too.
I could have handled it.
Yeah. You got Gollum voice.
The magic me.
Watch it, motherfucker. Stop it.
Stop it. That's right.
Anyway, now, Carl, you were, like I say, Nicole, Blood Diner classic. Mm-hmm. Blood Dinner is coming out now?
Yeah, I finally wrote the script, the sequel.
Right.
25 years later. Yeah. And you think, you know.
Didn't everybody die at the end?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I'm just
checking.
Anything can happen.
And I would say that's it, people.
Well, I mean, I think Sheetar is still alive.
Yeah, baby, she owed me $10. actually, it's going to be set in a county hospital. Yeah.
Ah.
It's going to be so cool. So I'm looking forward to that. We should be shooting it by the end of the year. So
right.
There's a bunch of stuff going on right now. I'm actually involved in developing a TV show called Heaven's Crush. It's about real life deliverances, and it's like not any paranormal show like you've ever seen. Like, did you see that? Oh, there it went. Oh,
right. Is it the camera shaking?
Yeah, it's not it. It's the real deal, man.
No, you are the real deal. You know a lot of things.
I've interviewed a lot of people for it, and it's just wow. I'm really excited about that. And also, I have a really cool script called Gypsies, which is a horror comedy. And about a bunch of cutthroat gypsies ripping off people in the valley. And it's hilarious. I got a couple names in it.
Sounds
too.
Like my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's every gypsy trick if you've studied what gypsies do.
I mean, I've had my fair share of gypsies, and I'm telling you, it's the weirdest experience.
Right.
Having them come in if you're running a rental hall facility, and they make it sound like they're having a banquet for some saint in their church or their religious thought. And they come in and they decorate it with this beautiful tableware and plates, and then they have to have a kitchen so they can cook their fish, and it stinks up the whole place.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden at the end, they throw the plates on the floor full of grease.
Ooh.
They break the glasses and the dishes, but they never return those things, and they have the billing come back at the hall that you're, leasing out.
That's a gypsy trick, but it's not what I'm talking about.
Right. What are you talking about, Carl?
I'm talking about the ripoffs, like fake seances, all the stuff that they normally go through.
Psychic surgeries.
It's about a little gypsy family in the valley. It starts out in the valley with, the psychic sign, and it's how they just rip off everyone that comes through. And
there's a lot of psychic signs in the valley.
Yeah, amen. And then what happens is there's a curse that comes down on them from the old country. Right. And they have to stop ripping people off to get back to the old country, so they can't rip anybody off anymore.
Wow.
And they got to get there before the curse comes upon them. And it's pretty funny. I mean, they have to go through all this crazy stuff. And the grandma starts turning into a goat, and the daughter turns into a moth girl. And they're just like... And there's a huge resolution that's going to...
Sounds like you were on Charmed.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff happened like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Charmed?
I watched Charmed.
Did you know you recognize him from Charmed?
There's a lot of seasons of Charmed. I don't remember.
Well, what character did you play on Charmed?
I played...
if you give me an episode synopsis, I'll probably remember.
It was a Celtic type of a character, and I have to tell you, I was dead most of the show. Come on.
But did you motorboat Rose McGowan?
Oh, I love Rose McGowan. Oh, my gosh. We hit it off so well because her and Manson, oh, my God. She just loved the idea that I was doing Minikiss at the time. So that was awesome.
Right. See?
And she's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and she's so friendly and very knowledgeable.
And please, Rose, if you'd like to come on the Dark Mark Show, we'd love to have you.
I also think you're very lovely.
Yeah, she's cool. She's fun. And
come on with Rosie O'Donnell. It'll be good.
Yeah.
But, and real quick, we didn't even get to If you haven't yet, you need to see, if you can find it, Secret Life of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh. Actually, it's on YouTube now.
Oh, okay, good.
Somebody posted it. Well,
go ahead. Is it really so YouTube. Secret?
Secret Life of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, and just real quick, because we got 2 minutes, but I was reading that, and I didn't know this, but Kevin Thomas, the LA Times, when he reviewed the other Dahmer movie with Jeremy Renner, he basically pointed out that this movie's not as good as your movie, and that his performance, which was okay, was not as good as yours.
I know. I was very flattered by that.
Yeah.
And cool. He gave us good reviews for Gross Out. Yeah.
I met the guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, man. Yeah. Very kind, very kind.
But I mean,
Jeffrey saw my film in prison.
I mean, everything that that Carl has done, and I can say this from viewing outside looking in, has been pretty darn exciting.
I second that. Now, you were saying Jeffrey Dahmer viewed the movie in prison?
Yeah, we did Maury Povich, and I met all the family members, and one of the family members I became friends with, and I had this 2-year conversation on the phone with her.
Right.
Because I could make her laugh, you know, and then basically she's the only
make
one.
The whole laugh too.
You know, I talk like a black man sometimes. And anyway, I could always make her laugh, and so I was making her laugh for 2 years. Her brother,
right.
Carol, the transgender, she called me up. She goes, "Carl, this is Carol." I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And she goes, "Baby, you got a problem." I said, "What?" She goes, "Child's got your picture all over her bedroom."
Ooh.
I mean, she went, like, pasted her whole room. And I was like,
ooh.
And then she said, "She recorded every single call you ever made." I said, click. But anyway, when I was talking to her, she was the only one who went and visited Jeffrey Dahmer in prison.
And she showed him.
And by the way, today is Jeffrey Dahmer's birthday. Somebody pointed out.
Happy birthday, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. So, in heaven, amen.
Or wherever you ended up.
Yeah.
But
but he saw it, and I was like,
yeah, probably not, you know.
Did he give it a rave review, or did he like, nah, Jeremy Renner's better?
Well, no, he didn't. That was after he died, yeah.
I'm kidding.
I said, "What happened?" She said, "The guards showed him the movie, made sure he saw it." And he said, he got really close to the TV and turned around and said, "Is that the guy that played me?" And they go, "Yeah." And he got really close and just stared the whole time. I was like, that's all.
Oh my God.
And I will tell you.
I had a chance to meet him and I didn't.
Wow. I don't blame you.
Probably wise.
I talked to his stepmom, which was very sweet on the phone.
But I'll tell you, that I've never, of all the reviews of that movie, a lot of people, you know, it was a really low budget movie. Some people have criticized the budget. Nobody, not on Rotten Tomatoes, not on IMDb, never have I read somebody didn't like your performance. Some people thought you were a little too beefy for the part.
Yeah.
That's the only criticism I've ever seen.
No, I appreciate
that. It's a brilliant performance.
Well, I actually wrote the script from the Jeffrey Dahmer interview with police. So
right.
It's really heinously accurate.
Right.
And like when I saw Jeremy Renner, I was like, wow, I can't wait to see someone else. Somebody else did something. Wow. And then he jumps over a fence at the end. Like, what?
I didn't think Renner was bad, but I just thought that the script was sort of all around the place.
Apparently, the director, we came out 2 years before them, and he said a bunch of crap about me. I was like, whatever.
Well,
and it soured me to Jeremy Renner, but then I saw the Bourne movie that he did. I was like, okay, wow, you got me.
Right.
It was really good.
But anyway,
really
so please, what's going on at the CIA tonight?
Tonight we have a museum night, and we have some really amazing shows. We have a big freak show on the 29th, man. Midgets,
I will be there
fire,
next week.
Little people.
Oh, hey, midget.
Are you going to be on the show?
I got trouble.
Hold it there,
I got
Rosie.
In trouble for calling a midget a little person one time.
Oh,
okay,
no.
I said, "Oh, you're a little person." He goes, "No, I'm a GD midget." I said, "Ooh, I'll call you whatever you want me to call you." You know, and it's like little people in the business who are in that business want to be called that.
Right.
You know, the people that are not in that business, they want to be called a little person.
And that's right. That's right.
I just want to call anyone whatever they want me to call them.
I say short stature to the educated person that's got their nose up in the air, a little snobby there.
But not short everywhere.
No, exactly.
So Michael's going to be, you're going to be at the CIA? You're going to be, what's going on with that?
We're doing a TV show together.
Yeah, we're doing a reality show pilot.
Right. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to be like stage managing and talking to people in a derogatory way because they need to get their asses out on the stage right now.
Yeah, he's going to be a screaming maniac.
I can't wait till my next show at CIA when you scream and yell at me. Michael, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to michaelleegogan.com and harass me that way, or go to my Facebook page, Michael Lee Gogan on Facebook, or well, I don't know.
And you've been in all sorts of movies. I guarantee you've seen him in something. Fear and Loathing
in Las Vegas.
Sliders. All sorts of stuff. So
all sorts of good stuff.
And please come back again. This was too short. Both of you guys, I want to have you guys back.
No pun intended. Were you doing that on purpose?
I like it.
He can't help.
Yes, sure. It was such a fidgeted good time. I didn't want to. It was just so.
I love this beautiful lady next to me here. Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh, so if Nicole's here, you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Motorboat action.
Well, it's funny, right? Because we met and all we did was exchange hands. So when you get out, and I'm wearing my heels, I'm usually like 6 foot right now.
Right. and Carl, how do people get a hold of you? And
hey, by my hair.
Facebook CI Abnormal Arts and. I have a number of pages on Facebook, Carl Crew, actor, director.
If you're in L.A., experience the CIA, 11334 Burbank Boulevard, North Hollywood, California.
Come. It's a family
atmosphere.
Like, he's
been there a lot.
The only reason to go to the Valley. And also, go to Nicole6.com.
Please, buy my anthology.
Buy your anthology.
And if you're local, come to the Rainbow and I will sign it.
And I want an autographed copy.
We'll see if we can arrange that. Everybody have
$10. You pay first.
You'll pay first. Wonderful, creepy lady. Bye.